Good morning. How's everyone? Yeah? Smiley. I love that. I love times of worship like that where you just feel like we could just carry on, right? Just it feels like God's in it and we're just, it's nothing too complex, but you just feel the sense of the presence of God. I love that. We're going to be looking over these next 3 weeks at Psalm 46. So you're going to become very familiar with it. We're going to be preaching through it. We're going to be praying through it in our prayer meetings. So you are going to become very well acquainted with Psalm 46. But I want to put this question to you. Do you believe that God answers prayer?
Yes.
Oh, good. I was hoping that there would be a good amount of yes. Who even this week, I'm not going to ask you to share, has had God answer a prayer? Yeah, a few. Cool, right? Like, I love that actually this isn't just something that we just go, oh, it's a nice thing we know we should do. Most of us would be able to point to different points in our life where we would see God answer prayer. I want to share with you a story about my nephew, Luca. So we've got a picture of Luca. This was Luca at Christmas. He is not the, we've got a niece who's like 3 weeks younger than him from our other side of the family. So we've got like, it's like baby booming in our family at the moment. But so Luca's like, what is he, like 12 weeks old now? But 2 weeks into Luca's life, his parents noticed that there was like a swelling in his eye. They're like, oh, this is a bit odd. And what happened was they took him to the doctors, and the GP could have just given him, it looks like an eye infection or something. But the GP went, I'm not sure there's something quite right with this. So he sent him to the hospital, and they sent him for a CT scan. And the CT scan basically revealed there was a huge swelling behind his eye. And they went, well, there's two options what this looks like it will be, and we need to send you to Oxford. So they live in Bedford. They got sent to Oxford Hospital. They said the two options are either it's cancer or it's a brain aneurysm, which essentially is where there's like blood vessels expanding. So as you can imagine, as a family, we're like, this kid's 2 weeks old, barely even that. We kind of get the news about this at 11 p.m. on a Thursday night. So they get him to Oxford, and Oxford go, you need to get to Great Ormond Street, because actually, if it's an aneurysm and the blood vessel explodes, he will die almost instantly. So we were sat in our kitchen at 11 p.m., and the family were going to get rushed from Oxford to Great Ormond Street. Sarah was getting ready to meet them at the hospital. She had a Lime bike ready to go. And I just began texting friends who I knew be up. We've got friends, fortunately, we feel God bless us with friends all over the world. So I was texting people in Korea, can you pray? People in Hawaii, can you pray? People in America, can you pray? People who I knew might be up in London, can you pray? So Luca, then they rush him to hospital. They rush him to Great Ormond Street. The whole family appears. We've got different people staying at our house. And then we go and sit with him on Friday morning. He's just holding him. And they say they're going to have to do an angiogram, which is basically where they pour fluid. They kind of inject some fluid into his blood so they can reveal what's going on. And they basically said, we're going to be able to tell if this cancer, and what we're going to have to treat this two-week-old baby, or if it's a collection of blood vessels that we'll be able to stop. But ultimately, there was only two surgeons in the country who could do this, and only one had ever operated on a baby before, and that baby was much bigger. So this would be like a first-time surgery. So you can imagine us as a family, I remember Sarah's dad just holding him, just going, I might never hold him again. Because that was the reality of the risk. So we just carried on praying. Our community group was praying. People we knew were praying. So he goes to this operation, and he comes back, and the doctors say it was success. It was an aneurysm. Apparently, we have four blood vessels that run to our brains, and you can survive with only three. So what they've done is they've tied off one of his blood vessels, and it's just slowly going down. Now, you might be here and go, whole bunch of coincidences. But I don't. I think all of us would look at our lives, be able to see there's too many coincidences that happen, that maybe someone's orchestrating it. So when we're holding Luca at Christmas, and to be honest, he was a bit cheeky, wasn't really settling, and everyone's like, oh, but we're all going, he's here. Because there was genuine moments where we were like, will he even be here? And what's beautiful is he will never remember this. Trust me, even his parents are holding him going, I wish he'd just sleep. Anyone who's had children will know those moments. But it's a genuine moment where I believe that we had people praying from this church all around the world for this young boy, and God answered. And Psalm 46, actually, it's a really interesting psalm. I'm going to get asked us to stand and read it together in a moment. It's actually a psalm that kind of theologians and scholars believe is like a celebratory psalm. It's a psalm that the Israelites would read to give them confidence and reminding them of God's power and what he's done. So as we read this, you might be in a season where it's really hard. Read this with confidence that God will bring you through. You might be reading it going, I'm not actually in a trial at the moment, but I've experienced trials. Read it as a celebration of look what God has done. Is that all right? So let's stand. And I've got it up. Hopefully your glasses are strong enough. If you can't, I'll be reading. This is from the ESV version. And that bit, Sela, we'll read that. That essentially means pause, because the Psalms were like poetry. So we will read that. But we won't pause for ages, but maybe the other guys, when they preach in a few weeks, can talk about that. So let's read this together. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Lord, we thank you for this psalm. Lord, we thank you for the many, many answered prayers right across this room. And pray, Lord, that you would bless us this month as we dig into this psalm. Let it give us faith. Let us give us confidence. Let us give us comfort. Lord, help me as I speak this morning. Let your Holy Spirit be speaking through me, that you might be glorified. Jesus, I thank you that you came for us. Let us know more of your love for us today, I pray. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. So today we're going to be focusing on this part. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I'm going to look at refuge, I'm going to look at strength, and I'm going to look at hope. But I think whilst obviously many of us will think, I haven't got seas foaming, and there is wars raging. You only have to look at the news this week going, gosh, is this the world we live in? But this psalm is supposed to speak into it. Whether you're concerned about what email might be coming tomorrow morning, maybe they've got a diagnosis this week, maybe you're nervous at the school gates or your children, these news alerts, Psalm 46 is supposed to speak in to our anxious lives. It doesn't promise a calm world, but it does promise that God will be with us. So let's have a look at refuge. Now, refuge, kind of, they're giving that meaning of it's a shelter. It's something or someone you turn to when you need assistance or security. Think in your mind, who's the person you call if there's trouble? You've probably all got it. Oh, who would I call? So one of my top people is Sarah's dad. This is a picture of Sarah's mum and dad. It's Mike and Rose. That was them at Christmas. So Sarah and I, we grew up together. So we grew up in the same church. And my parents always joked that in Southampton, we had four emergency services. We had the police, we had the fire brigade, we had the ambulance, and we had Mike McCarthy. And that has continued to this day. Despite me and Sarah being 15 years married and stuff, Mike is probably still the person that we would both call in times of trouble. Even a few weeks ago, Nick, Bob and I turned up for our elders meeting. We have an elders meeting every Friday morning here. Jo was with us because she was going to speak at Real School. And the building, we couldn't get in. So like the doors were just totally locked. We had all our keys and nothing was working. So Mike, context, he actually helps do lots of the work in the building. So I was immediately like, we need to call Mike McCarthy. So I get my phone out, and as we do it, Joe goes, "Shall we just quickly pray?" And I love that, praise God, in that situation, whilst my mind is like, jump and fix the solution. Who's a fixer of solutions? Looks for the solution quickly. I love that Joe, even in that moment, and she's not here to hear me encouraging her, just went, "Shall we just pray quickly?" I reach for my phone to go, quick, call my father-in-law, he'll be able to fix this. And Joe said, "Shall we pray?" Now, we got in with the help, I think, of God and my father-in-law. But actually, I think our mindset in these times of trouble should be, who's our first point of call? Do we just go, "Lord, help me"? If it's parenting, "Lord, just help me quickly. Otherwise, I'm going to do whatever I shouldn't do. Lord, help me with my boss. Lord, help me with a situation where I'm going to the bank and I need to speak about it. Lord, help me." Deuteronomy 4 says this. Moses says this to the Israelites. He says, "For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him?" He's saying to the Israelite people, look, no one has a God like ours who is close, who is near to us. That is true for us. All the other world religions who believe in God, the sense that actually we can pour out our requests so immediately is not there. Is not there in the same way. That we can come before God, who is near whenever we call upon him. Bob read it at the start of the service, Matthew 11. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus is saying, come. Like, he's inviting us. There's an invitation. He's not saying, come, you're all sorted, clean yourselves up, and then you can come in. You don't have to wash. You don't have to do anything. He's saying, come with your mess, with the challenges. Come to me. It's like coming undercover. With, like, rain, it's like, you don't need your umbrella. Come with me. I've got you. I've got you. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, "God is our refuge, not merely a shelter from danger, but a home for the soul." Love it. People back in the day really put their words together in a beautiful way, in some ways that where we're so quick, we don't give time to really building that. But how beautiful was that? He is not merely a shelter from danger, but a home for our soul. You know, do you ever have that feeling when you get home and it's like, ah, I'm home? Yeah? People can resonate that. Maybe you were visiting family over Christmas and you just could not wait to get back in your sofa in front of your TV and be able to choose that. Okay. And there is this constant promise throughout Scripture that when we come to God, refuge isn't an escape from troubles. It's not. Even Jesus said there would be troubles in this life, but it is a shelter from it. And God doesn't promise to remove every storm, but he does promise to be with us in it. So I want to encourage you, whatever your trial you may be in, that you're not alone, that God is with you. And so much of this thing of seeking refuge, I think, actually requires a sense of humility, which in Britain we are still living a bit of the keep calm, carry on generation. Right? Many of us will have family members that were fought in the world wars, that were alive during that time. Even people, my granddad was born just before the start of World War II. He is very much the keep calm and carry on generation. Don't tell anyone what's going on. I'll just soldier on. But how guilty can we not be? How guilty can we be for not asking help when we need it? Like, maybe you're here today and you actually need some help. Maybe you need a bit of money. Maybe you need some help with your children. Maybe you've got a project coming up that you just need someone to help you with. Maybe you just want someone to pray with you. The person next to you could actually help you if you just went, could I just share something with you? So much is us. God puts us in community to be with one another, to learn from one another, to help in one another. We don't have to do this alone. Seeking refuge and seeking security is kind of accepting our need for it. Actually saying, I actually need some help. God says, come to me and I will give you rest. There's a sense of saying, come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. And then strength. This is the world's strongest man from last year. Rain O'Neill. He's from South Africa. His deadlift, for those who are interested in these kind of numbers, Dan, this one's for you. 490 kg deadlift. If you're like me and kind of go, don't know what that's about six of me. Last year, it would have only been five of me, which is encouraging. You can do... That will be like, some people will get that later on, what I did there. But that is a pure demonstration of strength and power, right? There is no one in this room, not even Dan, who could lift that. This is what visible strength is like. Dan, I know you couldn't. 490.
2 months.
2 months. 2 months, Dan's lifting 490. There we go. But this is an amazing demonstration of like human power. But this isn't the kind of strength and power that God is talking about. And in the psalm, you would have seen that the Israelites are reminding themselves of the power that God has demonstrated. Breaking bows and wars to cease. I love it. It's one of my favorite phrases in the Bible that he talks about. Kingdoms totter. What we talk about babies tottering, right? He's talking about kingdoms and tottering. Imagine if you went to even the greatest nations in the world and say, God thinks you're tottering. See, it's almost embarrassing, right? If you said to me, oh, look, you're tottering around, I'd be like, excuse me. And I love that when I ask, has anyone seen prayer's answers? It's just a demonstration of God's power. They're not just coincidences that just happened. They were demonstrations of God's power. And God being our strength isn't about us just being strong and getting through. Life is not about just getting through. It's about admitting our weaknesses. And then God makes us strong. It's about God giving us strength to overcome the trials and challenges of life. And if you're here today and feel weak, I want to encourage you that it's okay. That's probably actually a good thing. It's actually a great starting point. Because weakness isn't like a failure of your faith. Weakness is actually a doorway for God to show his power. For us to go, I am weak, God, would you make me strong? And if you're feeling strong today, you might have to go, I'm not in comparison to God. Hudson Taylor says this. He says, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his power. All those people that we might read about, we share stories about, have done things throughout history, he's basically said, are great men and women because they depended on God's power, not on themselves. You can look back through history of all the great people who have done amazing things and would give glory to God. They would probably, you'd find within that is a real level of humility and understanding that they are not strong in their own might. It's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12. He was like, arguably, and historians would argue this, outside of Jesus, Paul was one of the most influential people in the world. As in, like, he caused the gospel to be spread. He wrote many letters. He traveled the whole Mediterranean Sea. He traveled to Asia sharing the gospel. If you read about, there's this historian called Tom Holland who would talk about Paul as being one of the most influential men other than Jesus in history. But actually he had a period, he talks about how he had a thorn in his flesh. No one quite knows what that thorn is, but essentially it's saying that he had stuff that niggled. Do you have stuff in your life that just niggles you? Maybe you have, I personally have a chronic condition, which means I have to deal with it every day. And you just deal with it. Just kind of, it's a niggle, it's there, but you keep going. This is what Paul says about it. He says, 3 times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time the Lord said to Paul, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults and in the hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. How beautiful, right? I do not feel pleasure in my weaknesses. I do not feel pleasure in insults. I do not feel pleasure in hardships and persecutions. And relatively, I have a very easy life. Like Paul is saying, that he was imprisoned, he was persecuted, he was beaten, strung out. And he found pleasure in his weaknesses because he knew that God was his strength. When we admit our need, when we admit our weaknesses, is when we find God's strength and his power. And I want to talk about help in a second, but I love this psalm that it has this be still moment. We had a men's Bible study at our last term, and we just got stuck on this bit of be still and know that I am God, and we're going to talk about that in a few weeks. But I wonder if we just like pause for 30 seconds just to let what I've shared so far hopefully sink in a bit. I'm very aware that you won't remember 90% of what I've said, and that's totally fine. But I trust that the Holy Spirit might be highlighting something to you that you go, hold on to that. So maybe you might find it helpful to just close your eyes. We'll pause for 30 seconds and then I'll share about kind of some more practical things. But in it, I want you to say, Jesus, I'm trusting you to be my refuge and strength. I want to encourage you that even if you felt God speaking to you in that moment, there might be an opportunity that you feel you want to share something with the church at the end. We'll have time for that. You might just feel like a personal encouragement or the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit speaks, we can feel a little bit like, is that just a voice in my head? Why am I having that strange thought? Well, you might not have been having it before you came this morning. And we've paused to see if God will speak to us. I want to encourage you that that's one of the ways God speaks to us. Just thoughts in our mind. Thoughts that we weren't originally thinking about that he's brought to mind. Or maybe something I shared was just prodding you, poking you. That's okay. Let's look at help. This is kind of like practical. Praying, what does this look like? Well, Psalm 46 tells us that God is near. The Gospels is all about God coming near to us. Jesus coming to this earth is about Jesus coming near to us. So near he takes on flesh. So near he suffered and died for us. Jesus came to this earth so that all of us can find safety and security. That's why he came. So that we can come to him. Jesus went to the cross so that all who call on him, all who say, Lord, I can't do this on my own, might receive his undeserved, unmerited favour, his grace, and that they might find refuge and strength to help them in times of need. Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. In Hebrews 4, it says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace because of what Jesus has done. Having faith isn't confidence in ourselves. It's a trust in who Jesus is and what he's done. And here's the question we all have to face. If Jesus came near enough to us, why do we sometimes keep him at arm's length? Why do we sometimes go, yeah, I'll deal with that later. Or do that on Sunday. I'll do that at the prayer meeting. I'll do that at the community group. Jesus came to earth for us. Do we sometimes just deal with that later? And as I was preparing, when we're talking about refuge, I felt God just say, it's not refuse. God's not going to refuse you. If you're prepared to call on him, he's not going to refuse you. No, not you. It's not how he works. All who call on him will be saved. He offers refuge and safety. And Jesus didn't come to improve our lives. This isn't a prosperity gospel thing. Come to Jesus and all your woes will be sorted. You'll have a great house and a great job and you won't have to do lots of work and all this kind of stuff. No. He came because without him we're lost. It means we lose our purpose without him. In Paul's letter to another church in modern day Turkey, in a place called Philippi, it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and with petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He's writing to them to say, look, I encourage you, bring everything. All your situations, all your requests, all the things you want to see him do, bring it to God. And there's this caveat, with thanksgiving. Don't come to him moaning. Come to him remembering. This psalm is a beautiful one of the Israelites reminding themselves of what God has done. I've rephrased what I read about Moses saying to the Israelites. The next slide, Phil. So in Deuteronomy 4, he said this, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? What about for us? What other people are invited to come so confidently to God, knowing He is near, welcoming, and ready to help whenever we call. Crazy, right? We are, you are, I am, the kids are. We are all invited to come near to God. And He's near, ready to help whenever we call. I'm going to do a little bit of prodding, just to challenge us a bit. John Wesley said this, he says, God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. That was what he seemed to have learned over his life. He was a big, big deal preacher. God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. Do we actually believe God will answer our prayers? Or do we pray like small ones because we think, oh, that might actually just happen this week? I think unprayed prayers can sometimes disguise a bit of our unbelief. Maybe we've struggled with like just praying it for years and years and years, and you go, oh, never mind. Maybe it's because of disappointment. Maybe even fear that what if God does answer that? I was watching The Chosen this week with Adoree, and it was the moment where they were sort of talking about Jesus. We watched the Feeding of the 5,000 episode, which is amazing. I was watching Adoree, and one of our friends came in and go, Luke, why are you laughing? And I just was laughing at how people were reacting to what Jesus was doing. But you won't be able to see this because I can barely see it in front of me. In my finger is a mustard seed. Tiny little thing. And Jesus said this to the crowd. If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to a mountain, move from here to here, and it will move. Because nothing is impossible for you. I'm still holding the mustard seed, by the way. But as me and Adoree were watching it, we turned to each other and goes, do we really have that little faith? Is that the kind of faith that I was showing Sammy this morning? He goes, what'd you do with it? Do you eat it? I was like, well, probably, you could do. Little faith like this, nothing is impossible for God. In Ephesians, it talks about God can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? Even I would be nervous to go, yes, Luke, I really believe that. But I want to encourage us that this month is actually a real chance to go, no, we're going to pray some prayers of faith that God would do some stuff. I'm so excited that we're going to pray for family. We're going to pray for friends. We're going to pray for colleagues. We're going to pray for neighbors, our communities. I'm excited that we are going to pray prayers that are going to cause us logistical problems. That's okay. We've already got logistical problems. That's fine. We can have more. Because I'm more concerned about God doing things. That we really start to see prayers answered. I'm excited that when we begin to depend on Him, use Him as our refuge and strength, we're going to see really difficult situations turn round. That people walk in with unbelievable peace for extraordinarily hard circumstances. And we go, they're able to do it because we're praying and God's meeting them. I'm excited that we're going to pray for the sick and see them healed. There's a few nods. This much faith. That's how much we need. A little bit. Now, the sickness thing can really touch people. It has touched me and it hurts. But we should still pray. Because actually, I think when we get to heaven and say, God, why didn't you heal that person? He'll go, well, you're here now. And that's the thing I've had to deal with personally, is kind of going, do you know what? I don't understand this. But I know when I get to heaven, I will be able to see how God's faithfulness through my life has continued. And that when I get to heaven, I won't worry about it anymore. How many times have you been for a trial and then you go, don't even think about it anymore? My nephew Luca will not remember anything that happened in the first 2 weeks of his life. Just, it will never be a thing for him. But that was bad. Really bad. And if you're here today and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, you wouldn't say you're following Jesus, Trust me, you don't have to have everything figured out. As one of the pastors here, I do not have everything figured out. You only need to come and talk to me after a Sunday, and someone wants to ask me how my week's been, and I'll actually tell you, well, it's been quite challenging because of X, Y, Z. And like, oh, okay. That's okay. We're all totally normal. We all have different trials. We all sin. We all get things wrong. That is okay. Because Jesus came for us to help people who are not perfect live in a way that pleases him. Part of being a follower of Jesus is saying, I need you. Jesus, I need you. I cannot do this on my own. And I know one of the things I've learned over like the last 20 years of following Jesus is that most of the time I'm going, Lord, I need you because I can't do this on my own. So I want to help us respond with two things in a minute. The first thing is I want us to sing a song in a moment. And if you would like more faith for what lies ahead this year, I would like you to come and grab a mustard seed. If it even makes it home, that would be very impressive because it's so tiny. But I would like you to come and grab a mustard seed. Say, Lord, I want more faith. I want faith that you can do things, that you can move, that you're hearing my prayers. There is nothing holy about these. I haven't prayed over them. They are just mustard seeds I bought from the shop yesterday. Right? It's okay. It's not like holy water. These aren't holy mustard seeds. But I think it's a demonstration of our faith going, Lord, if this is all I need, I want to see you move. I want to see you move. I want to see you do stuff. I want to have answers to prayer. When we're having meetings and go, is there anyone who wants to share a testimony? You go, yeah, I've got a testimony. I want to share what God's done. So I want to encourage you. Don't be shy. Come and get a mustard seed. If you lose it on the way home, I won't be offended. I know I gave out pound coins last year. This is not as exciting. But this is very much a, hey, if this is all I need, I want to see you move. And the second thing I want to do, on the table at the back where the teas and coffees are, there's a load of paper and pens. And this Tuesday, I would love us to pray and petition God for things. To say, God, we want you to move here. So if you've got something that you would love God to do, maybe you want a new job. Maybe you're really struggling financially. Maybe you'd love a partner. Whatever it is, you don't have to put your name if you don't want to. But I want you to write something down so that on Tuesday evening, whether we're in here or online, we are going to pray. And we're going to trust with our little mustard seed of faith that next Sunday, some people might say, you prayed for that last Tuesday and God did something. Are you with me? I'd encourage that everyone can probably write something down. If you leave without writing something down, I'm like, I need to be around you. Because I've probably got 10 or 15 things I need to write down. So you need to put it so it's not just all Luke's prayer requests, okay? Is that all right? So this psalm is a psalm that brings us confidence. It should bring us strength that God is with us. So why don't Sarah and the band come up? We can sing and then I'll hand over to Bob. But I'll just pray for us. And then as they're singing, yes, Barbara. As they're singing, just come and grab a mustard seed. If the person in your arms in the row is out in the way, just be polite. Say, can I squeeze past? And if you want to come and stand at the front to sing, that's okay. We've got this. You don't have to go back to your seat. They're not allocated. Controversially, someone might sit in your seat next week. But let me pray. Shall we stand? Lord, I want to thank you, Jesus, that you came near to us. You came from heaven to earth to save us. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to admit our need, to admit our weakness, and come to you as our refuge and our strength. Lord, would you help us in our times of need, whatever those needs are. Whatever the prayer requests we're going to put in that bucket at the back, Lord, would you move? Lord, would you take our little faith like a mustard seed, tiny, 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 Lord, and do something extraordinary with it. Would you give us this gift of faith that comes from the Holy Spirit? Faith that the God who flung the stars into space cares about the details of our life. Lord, I want to praise you for all the different people we'd be able to point to answers of prayer. Lord, thank you that there are no coincidences under you. That's not a thing. Lord, you are orchestrating and weaving things. Lord, I pray that when we look around this world, Lord, and we see so many horrific things that have even happened this week, Lord, we can come to you and say, Lord, what is going on there? Would you move? That this psalm is to speak into our anxious world so that we understand that we have a God who is present with us. Lord, we give it all to you. Thank you that you are our help in time of need. We come before you, Lord, because it all belongs to you. Amen. Let's sing this song. I'll leave the mustard seeds here. Feel free to come and grab one. There's plenty.
Jesus, we just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what Luke's brought from your word to us here today, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Lord, thank you that all we need is a mustard seed, Lord Jesus. If it's faith that's resting in you, Lord, it's where our faith is resting, Lord God. If our faith is resting in you, all we need is a mustard seed, Lord Jesus. We so thank you for this, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about anybody else, but I was kind of tempted to take a handful of mustard seeds. So I thought, well, if one mustard seed can move a mountain, what could I do with a handful? But we just need one, don't we? Because it's not the mustard seed, it's the Jesus, it's God. It's the God that we're putting our faith in, the God we're trusting. That's what matters, not the size of the faith. It's the God who we're trusting in. That's what matters. Just be a good opportunity just to, before we finish, if anyone feels they've got anything to share to encourage us, then please come forward. Lovely Vicky's got something for us. Do take a seat.
Knows I talk a lot. Isn't that amazing? I just think God's so kind because he doesn't say, go and have faith to move a mountain and I might speak to you or care for you or be in your life. He actually says, you know, this is what I want you to have. And we can all, I think we can all have faith like this. It's wonderful. I just wanted to share something that really ties in with Luke's talk that I read this morning. Those of you on Lectio 365, who read it in the morning will recognize this. It says, in his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, John Mark Comer says, if you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. He offers his apprentices a whole new way to bear the weight of our humanity with ease at his side, like two oxen in a field tied shoulder to shoulder, with Jesus doing all the heavy lifting at his pace, slow, unhurried, present to the moment, full of love and joy and peace. An easy life isn't an option. An easy yoke is.
If I haven't seen you before, if I haven't seen you since the new year started, I just want to bless you. Happy New Year. It's going to be a great year in the name of Jesus. Thank you for sharing that lovely word. That psalm is one of the psalms I would call upon a lot, because as we've already identified, that no one's exempt from trouble. We go through trials, we go through challenges, we go through all kinds of things. And when your mind is working overtime, you're trying that. But that scripture where it says, be still, that's been a big anchor for me. Because I know the enemy likes us to stress, worry, fret, like try to work it all out. But God said, no, I'm God. So we have to really know that stillness, and it makes such a difference. Because you slow down, you take your time to process things, you start to see how God wants you to see it, not the way you think you should see it. So that scripture, be still, if you've not been aware of it before, or really, because the scripture is a living word, it's living, it's alive, it does affect, it makes changes. The things are still going on around you, but that stillness you put within you is what matters. That stillness that you put, it makes the difference. Things are going crazy. I don't know if some people know that I had a bit of a housing issue. And it was going on for years due to financial struggles, not working, studying, etc. And finally, God did a miracle, but it was a long time. When I went for certain helps, people tell me to sell my property, all kinds of like, and I was like, I serve a great God. I serve a mighty God. How big is your God? God did a miracle. I just want to sing this song. This is another song I used to sing a lot as a way of just keeping my mind focused on the Lord, not stressing, not worrying, not fretting. I asked her if she knew, but I'm not sure, but Barbara might know it. So I'll sing it. And then we can join in, obviously. And my voice is a bit quirky, so excuse me. Be still and know that I am God.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you. It was lovely to hear you preaching. You're really putting my heart. Would you mind if you put Romans 10:17? Because Jesus says, if you have this mastership. But I used to think, how do I have faith? Just thinking, I squeeze myself and I want to have it. But Jesus says, faith comes. Look, comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. You remember last week we watched this video about the creation. The more we spend time with God to see His greatness, His mighty power. If you spend time with someone at work, you begin to know this person and you begin to trust in him. Last year I had one of my customers, little girl, 3 years old. She just started nursery in the school. And there is childminder who used to come. The parents are both of them doctors by profession. And one day, the childminder was looking after a Saturday. And suddenly the little girl, she said, I have a pain in my stomach. They called the parents and they took them to hospital, an emergency. And they found out that she has a big problem with the kidney. Only 3 years old. When they took to the Great Ormond Street, they found that it was cancer. So they had to make an intervention. And for a year they suffered. But one day they came and I said to the mom, look, I'm gonna pray. I know my God. I'm gonna anoint her. I'm going to pray and you trust in him. We will pray. And we pray. She went through chemotherapies the whole year. Little one. It has passed a year. And this week, the childminder who was used to pick up, she came. I said, do you remember? Yes, I'm going to pick her today, she says, on Thursday. And now she looks good. The parents see that it was God's hands. God answer prayers. But sometimes God answer prayers in different way we think. Because God says, I think different than you think. I am above, you are below. Sometimes He answers straight away, sometimes in time, in His own way. But let's put the trust in Him by what He says, hearing and hearing. You know, when there is an ambulance, we just hear. The thinking when it comes to listening. And when you're listening is the process in your brain and then it comes into your heart. And that is when you get that faith. And that's when you have this little one and it will increase more and more. Not because we are doing anything, because we began to know him more. And then it's the process and it's wonderful. I've seen in my coffee shop again and again this God Almighty, how wonderful He is. And it's true. He hears our prayers. When you sit down and just think and meditate as you did earlier, and the thought comes, I didn't think this before. It's God. He will give you a scripture. Trust me. Only one little word in the middle of the torment. Trust me. It comes. Wow. That is him. That is him. So I encourage you to spend more time with him. Started with little. Like when you go to the gym. You go to the gym, he says, yeah, you're going to be like this man. Yeah. But if we don't do the exercise, if we don't do the exercise, it will not happen. So yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lovely message that Luke gave us earlier. Father in heaven, you know that you are with us in our hearts. You are among us, and we thank you, Lord, that we can come and praise you and glorify you. Father in heaven, help us that we will hear you more, and our faith will come into our heart, and we will trust you more, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Thanks so much. Thank you all so much.